The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips.
I can promise you that this podcast will at least be better than Daniel Jones's touchdown run. What's up, everybody? Will Brinson here for the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. This is the Thursday night recap. We're back after a 1 week hiatus because of, you know, COVID moved Thursday night football off. And of course you have me, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, and special guest, Cody Benjamin. You, my friend, have a much better fate than Jared Dubin did on Monday night when he showed up to recap the Cowboys game. Mm. You look calm. You look relaxed. But I know inside that your heart's racing a million miles an hour because all the people who are dunking on Carson Wentz on Twitter have to suck it because he's now the first place quarterback of the NFC East.
Listen, thanks for having me on, first of all. But ten minutes before this, my heart was beating faster than it probably should have been. And I wore the Kelly green and I positioned myself with the Rocky poster in the background. It was looking real bad a little bit ago. So I'm, yeah.
Ryan, on a scale, we're not going to do a scale. Do you think at any point, Ryan or Breach, that, Cody tried, he like texted Debo like, I've actually got to like run down and get some coffee. I can't do the podcast today when the Giants were up 10 points late in the second half.
When Cody says it was getting real bad, I think we should mention the pre-podcast talk. Cody and Debo both said, yeah, we're going to give up on the season if the Eagles lost this game. That's where Eagles fans were. They were at the cliff ready to jump off if they got beat by Daniel Jones and the Giants. So Carson Wentz didn't just save the Eagles season. He saved Cody Wentz. and Eric Wentz. You're all Wentzes now. You guys are all Wentzes.
All right, let's not. Ryan.
Thank you. Breach just interrupts me like he's Will Brinson all of a sudden.
He said John or Ryan.
No, he didn't. He said Wilson or Breach. And then
when Breach
does this.
At this point, we'll be doing this for 10 years. You would think that when I say Ryan or Breach, what I'm saying is Ryan go first and then Breach follow. But no, Breach goes anyway.
We've spent so much time together. I feel like in some ways I'm Rachel, which is Breach's wife. And when Breach does this, that means I'm going to interrupt you no matter what.
Sometimes I feel like I'm Annabelle.
After Brinson quit. No, she is much smarter than you. And she has better hair. But I will say this. So before you came on, Brinson, Cody was talking about how he had to mix things up. So he went downstairs to his basement. If you look over his shoulder, there is the old Rocky poster, which he must have kissed a few times and hugged. And I think he'll kiss it after this because I think that's when the face started changing. And as Breach mentioned, when he cut me off, because I asked Debo before he also came on, when the Eagles are trailing by 11 with less than 5 minutes to go, Debo, how are you feeling?
With the ball in Carson Wentz's hands, I always feel great. It does not matter if they're down 11, down three scores. They need to drive under 2 minutes to go. First and goal from the 17, first play to Boston Scott. What? That's my quarterback.
That's not what he told me originally.
That's disgusting.
He said he was a little
nervous. You don't believe any of that.
And Cody, how did you feel after first and goal when Jason Kelce got the throwing the helmet?
Oh,
it made a first.
Well, that whole sequence was, that was the game in a nutshell. The guys, you literally could see on the TV, the Giants and Eagles both were just, they're both standing there looking at the refs to see, you know, because it's penalty after penalty. I mean, it's the perfect ending to that kind of game. I mean, it was ugly all around. I think, I mean, some of those calls on Logan Ryan were iffy at the end. I mean, but that's just, that was a microcosm of the whole performance.
So this is an indisputable fact. Coming into tonight, the Giants were ranked below the Jets in offensive DVOA. That is as low as you can get. Losing to that team 21-10 in the fourth quarter is a hello darkness, my old friend situation. And I will give Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz credit because they looked awful all night. Doug Peterson made some terrible play calls. The goal line fade to Hakeem Butler. Are you kidding me? That's his first offensive snap of the year. He's a tight end. He played wide receiver in college, was drafted as a wide receiver. What are we doing?
Horrible play, but it was a pass interference.
That, however true that may be.
Also, if you're going to throw a fade to a 6'4 receiver, throw it 7.5 feet in the air, not 4.5 feet in the air.
Well, right. None of the goal line play calls were really that good. I mean, the Carson Wentz 2-point conversion, I mean, it goes back to last week.
Jalen Hurts coming in for a 2-point conversion.
But you're saying, and I completely agree with you about there's no reason that the team should be down, even with the injuries and everything. But then you look at last week, I mean, they're within 2 points of a Ravens team that, granted, wasn't playing their best day, but this is just,
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this instead. Cody, what is your confidence level 1 to 10 that the Eagles win the NFC East?
Oh, come on.
I mean, that is such, it's such, it, like, I know that, I know that,
what is beating the number?
Well, let me just explain first. I mean, give me a second here.
It's a 10.
No,
it sounds like a 2 when he's trying to talk himself into a 10.
I was going to go 6, just above halfway. I mean, I'm certainly not that confident. I mean, I don't think Andy Dalton and the Cowboys are going to be as bad as they were last week.
They will.
They will? Well,
yeah.
That's wrong. I agree with Cody.
Explain, guys. And then Debo, follow, please.
Well, I was just going to say, I know it's cliche at this point to say the NFC East is bad because that's all anyone, like, it's just a running joke now.
It's not cliche. Like, it's just stating.
Well, I know, but it's gotten to the point where anyone who's making a joke about the NFL is making it about the NFC East, right? Which justifiably so. But, you know, the Eagles are not a great team. I mean, like you said, they're down 21-10 to the Giants. It was very reminiscent of last year at the end of the season when they're going down to the wire with Washington, with the Giants, except probably 3 times worse because they, I mean, the supporting cast, I mean, Travis Fulgham looks good. He's looked really good. But I mean, besides him, you're picking, you know, I don't know. I say 6 because you try and think, I mean, is Kyle Allen, is Alex Smith going to do that with Washington? I mean, I think it's either Andy Dalton and the Cowboys pick up a little bit of steam, enough steam just to get like 5 or 6, 7 wins. That'll do it.
Cody is my newsletter partner, and he's now brainwashed pro Andy Dalton. I love to hear it, Cody.
I would say if I were betting on it, my number would be an 8 after this win because I didn't think before the game, like it would have been a 9. Then it went down to a 3 when they were down 21-10. It would be back to an 8 only because I think they're the best team and they'll figure out a way. Debo, what is your number?
Do I think the Eagles are a good team? No. Is my confidence level?
What is this? A presidential debate?
Is my confidence level? I want an answer. Is my confidence level a 10?
Is the Eagles a good team? Hey. Who knows what the Eagles did 4 years ago? Who can say what the Eagles have done the last 4 years?
Like,
what is your number?
I don't watch that garbage.
What will happen to us if we come out and say 8 or 9, which, I mean, then everyone says, but they're a horrible team. Well, we have to preface that.
Yeah, I gave it a little preface right there.
Right.
The preface to be a 10. This team is winning the division. This is the worst they're going to look the way they played tonight. They're only going to get healthier, I think. That's probably a bad statement to make at this point. But they only should get healthier at adding some pieces back to their offensive line. Carson Wentz is fighting for his life on every single snap he takes. He is making something out of absolutely nothing. It's not as much about the Eagles. I have confidence in the Eagles, but it's the rest of the division.
Yes, Ryan.
I pulled a breach there. I'm at a 9.
By the way, I'm in a full blown, like, Debo's going to install a muted microphone situation where I'm not allowed to talk.
I'm at a 9. I thought Cody was going to go straight into the 9, but he feels like he has to hedge, and I understand that. But look, here's the deal. And Brinson, you sort of touched on this. From 26 to 31 in Football Outsiders efficiency rankings, that's where the NFC East resides. The Cowboys in Washington are 26 and 27. The Giants and the Eagles coming into this week are 30 and 31. They're all terrible football teams. So, it's a half a dozen of one. Then it comes down to who do you have the most faith in. I will take Carson Wentz over all these other quarterbacks. Debo's right. Presumably, they can't get any more injured, although Deshaun Jackson looked like he lost a leg on Thursday night. So we'll see how that – he had to be helped off the field.
I think Deshaun Jackson is probably done for the season.
Well,
I'm probably done with the Eagles.
Doctors, Deshaun Jackson might call it a career, honestly. This point.
Doctors, you can make that assessment. My point is that he had to be helped off the field after coming back for one game.
That sucked, by the way. That was a dirty hit by the Giants. It might cost Deshaun Jackson the rest of the year. That sucks.
That was the same butthole that had the other personal foul penalty early in the game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I'm all in on the Eagles. I'm not crazy about Doug Peterson in terms of some of the things he makes, decisions he makes, but I think they have enough playmakers. And, you know, to reiterate what Debo said, I mean, someone has to get healthy at some point. They can't just get less healthy. How's it possible? They don't have more players left. And Debo are going to be playing in week 10.
Lane Johnson.
Oh, God, he played one play.
He is a absolute hero / animal.
There you go, Ryan. You can get less healthy. They have guys who try and play in games, and then they end up getting knocked out of those games, and they're out even more weeks.
He had – so I think RJ and I were talking about this in the preseason pod or the pregame pod. Like, he had no business being out there. He no basically business. Said, I'm going to suck it up. And you heard Joe Buck talk about it. He said he had a cyst drained off of – it's like a shattered ankle. And he still went out there and tried to gut it out. I mean, that is a hero move by Lane Johnson, who's an absolute monster, but he just wasn't right. And, like, there's no way he can play a full game or a full season.
Breach, I'm mad at you, Breach, but do the Eagles also need a new kicker?
Ooh.
Eagles definitely have some kicking problems. But I will say real quick, I'm about a 5 on the Eagles. So I'm right in the Cody territory. Look at the Giants. Last 3 weeks, they played every single NFC East team, and all of them were decided by 3 points or less. I don't think it's crazy to think they could be in the conversation at the end, but obviously I still think Andy Dalton, the Cowboys, is the answer there. But yeah, Jake Elliott has got to be one of your biggest concerns, because if Ryan's right and these players eventually get healthier, that means you're eventually going to have a healthy team, and Debo's right, and Carson Wentz is going to put up MVP numbers for the rest of the season, and Cody's confidence shoots through and the Eagles start winning games, well, some of these games are going to come down to their kicker, because the Eagles only play close games, as we've seen. And he's just basically since week 13 of last season, he's hitting under 70%. And obviously I know everybody in Philly loves him because he hit that 61 yarder. Was it against the Giants?
Yep.
Yeah.
Against the Giants. And he had a huge Super Bowl. I mean, a monster Super Bowl, had a couple field goals over 40 yards. But it's – and they just gave him an extension, so there might be some hesitation, like, hey, let's let him work through this. Well, if they lose tonight and that ends up maybe costing you a division because you lose by two games, you know, like, you can only let a kicker work through things for so long. So in your head, you're the coach. Maybe you say, look, we have a bye coming up, or you pick week 10. Whatever you need to pick a point on the schedule and say, if things don't improve by then, we've got to bring in kickers. So you can't just make that decision blindly after one game. So it's good for Jake Elliott they won tonight, because I think Doug Peterson would have thought about it a lot more if they had lost, because you can't miss a, was it 27, 29 yarder?
29.
Kicking from the right hash, you can't miss a 29 yard field goal left. And so I do think that that's going to be something on their mind if he keeps struggling over the next few weeks.
I'm raising my hand because I tell my son, you got to start raising your hand on these Zooms. You can't interrupt your classmates and just say what you want to say. Turns out it's genetic. So Breach, you think that the Eagles should consider bringing competition for their 25-year-old kicker, who heretofore has made well over 80% of his kicks, because he's having an unlucky year?
Brinson, this would be like, are you kidding me? Did you not listen to what I just said? I said since week 13 of last year. We're at a full year now. We're at a full year.
Let me phrase this. Dump down music, someone, please. Fine. Let me phrase this a different way. Who is the on-the-street kicker that you would bring in that is better than Jake Elliott?
That's the question.
That is the question. I mean, there are guys you bring in. Adam Vinatieri, you could try him out. Cody Parkey. There are guys.
Cody Parkey signed, I do believe.
Well, there's kickers on practice squads. there's kickers on practice squads around the NFL, and you can pull them off if you're going to put them on your active roster.
Let's settle down. Is this the Eagles' problem?
No.
I feel like the Eagles' problem is that like they're throwing to Travis Fulgham and Boston Scott and Greg Ward. What are we doing?
Will, did he not do enough to earn your respect tonight? Travis what?
He said it.
They're not Fulgham? Travis Fulgham?
There's no R in there.
Debo asked me if I thought kicking was a problem. I didn't say it was the problem.
All right, Cody, you were going to say something before.
I think Breach is right. And I think, there's been some stories in the last few days. I mean, his 50-plus yard field goals, obviously, they shouldn't be gimmies, but he's been worse, not just this year, but the last 2 years. But, yeah, I don't even think it's probably a top three. I mean, there's so many other issues. There's play calling. There's Carson Wentz forcing plays. There's O-line problems.
I would put O-line at the very top of the list, and they would also be second, third, fourth, and fifth, because if you put a tracker on Carson Wentz, he probably ran more than anyone else on the field, including all the wide receivers and gunners. I mean, he probably ran 10 miles on Thursday night running for his life.
That was actually going to be my next question for everybody here, is what is the Eagles' biggest problem? Because I think that injuries is one, but I'm not sure that – I don't want to insult you guys here, but I'm not sure that Doug Peterson is far off from number two. He is not. He's not Super Bowl Doug Peterson right now.
We haven't talked about it.
Let me pose this question to Debo.
Debo would like to say something.
No, go ahead, Ryan.
Let me pose this question to Debo and Cody. Right now, starting tomorrow, first thing, would you rather have Frank Reich as a head coach or still have Doug Peterson?
Wow,
that's tough.
Debo,
put me on the spot. Let's change it up. I'm loyal to Doug. I'm loyal to Doug, but let's go Frank. Let's just mix in Frank for the rest of the season.
Would you rather be married to your wife or
I think the most inexcusable thing tonight, the 2-point conversions were awful. The fact that he didn't get out the challenge flag on the play that the Giants were down and it would have been fourth down and he was just late getting the flag in and the officials had to talk about it. I thought that was his most inexcusable move of the night. That's the thing. Like you're like, oh, this is something. When stuff builds up that a coach should get fired for or put towards that argument. I'm not saying I said that at that moment, but it crossed my mind ever so slightly. That was infuriating. It's so clearly that was the most infuriating thing he did beyond those 2-point conversions.
I think the upside of Frank Reich, because we've seen now for, since the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, 2018, 2019, 2020, the Eagles have been largely a mediocre team. I mean, they've made it to the playoffs, but I think maybe the upside of Frank Reich. The one thing though that you can say with Doug, and I know I use this a little bit hyperbole, but I mean, the Eagles don't, and I'm not saying this to say they're a good team, but they haven't quit. And these last 3 years, I mean, they're not a team that looks like they're giving up at the end of games. You know what I'm saying? They may be ugly. They may be bad, but clearly Doug Peterson, regardless of these slow starts, and I think, you don't always need to have your team backed into a corner to do this underdogs thing, 4 years in a row. But the thing is, they still play to the end of games, which, that speaks to at least he hasn't lost a locker room.
I'm gonna defend Doug Peterson here too, because I think the Frank Reich and Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz discussion gets like built up into this maelstrom of like hot takes and comparisons. Doug Peterson's the guy who hired Frank Reich. Like, he brought Frank Reich in. He knew that Frank Reich was a good coach, and so he brought him in, and Frank Reich left. And look, any coach, any head coach in the NFL or college football or high school, whatever level you're coaching at, if you lose a stud coordinator or multiple coordinators, it's going to be a brain drain on your organization, and it's going to make it more difficult to be good at what you do.
Right. So he's also an offensive head coach. I mean, he should be able to –
do you think it'd be easier to – I'm not making it – I guess I am.
It would be great if he had an offensive coordinator to go alongside of him. He's the one kind of taking on the ownership of being the offensive coordinator and the head coach, which we don't see often across the league, and I just think that's too much to take on, like when you're the coach and the GM.
Debo, if I did this podcast by myself, producing it and hosting it, would it be better or worse?
Well, we all know the answer.
I think we know the answer there.
But we do. Yeah, it'd be way.
But that's still on.
But that's the
on
point.
Doug,
is like
though.
The more jobs you have to do, the worse you are at the specific jobs you're in charge
that's
of.
That's wrong, though. Bill Belichick, the Steelers.
That's That's like, oh, look at that unicorn. It's perfect.
No, I just said the Steelers lose coordinators all the time, and they seem to be the exact same team year in and year out. I mean, the Eagles are a good football team. You can't make excuses for Doug Peterson for being terrible at his job just because he lost Frank Reich. Frank Reich's not terrible at his job. He went to another job, had more responsibility, got better.
I mean, Frank Reich looks, Philip Rivers looked decent like some weeks, so I'm taking Frank.
That's the last time I ever stood up for your boy, Doug.
Frank Reich beat the Bengals. Doug Peterson didn't.
Doug Peterson did not beat, Doug did not beat the Bengals.
All right, that's a huge indictment.
Do we have to take a break, or are we just going to do Eagles for 45 minutes?
No, we could talk a little bit Evan Engram dropping that ball. Let's talk a little Giants angle. Cody's a 6. I'm a 10. Breach is a 5.
Yeah.
We know where we stand.
We're going to take a break and talk Giants, or are we just going to go straight through Giants?
Let's keep talking Giants.
Okay. Wilson, you're our draft guy. Is Daniel Jones good?
Yeah, it's so hard to tell. Daniel Jones would be the exact same if he played on the Eagles just because they have similar issues offensively. I tell you who's struggling. I don't want to say he's not good, but Andrew Thomas, the left tackle, he's in a rough patch. But here's the thing. He was the first offensive tackle off the board. You know Dave Gettleman from Carolina loves hog mollies or whatever he calls them. He could have had Jedrick Wills, who's played extremely well for the
Tristan
Browns.
Wirfs, who's been great.
Oh, Tristan Wirfs can jump out of a pool. That alone is the reason to draft Tristan Wirfs. So he's 350 pounds to jump out of a pool. Andrew Thomas, he's fine, but I think a lot of people didn't have them as their number one offensive tackle. Dave Gettleman did, and he got benched last week, and he struggled this week, and it's not helping Daniel Jones. So to answer your question, Daniel Jones has not played well. He's not played consistently. He's fumbled. I got the numbers here. Let's see. How much does he fumble now? He has fumbled. I just had the stat. Where is it?
Ryan, you're not allowed to count the last one.
Adam Major pinned this, and I'm going to steal it. Is he Daniel Winston? He makes great plays, but he makes horrendous turnovers.
I would take Jameis Winston in a second.
Yeah, well, let me put you this way. What if he played on last year's Buccaneers team? I think he would be better. Daniel Jones. He went through 30 interceptions. Yeah. But
his offensive line is bad, and he's neutered by Joe Buck opened the broadcast tonight by saying, I mean, frankly, they've just got to open it up. I don't know what else they can do for Daniel Jones, but they need to open it up, which is a very polite way of saying Jason Garrett is a giant bowl of tapioca pudding. Like, that is basically what he said. He's like, Jason Garrett is scared to open up this offense because he's trying to get another job as a head coach somewhere else, and he doesn't want to look like a moron by exposing his quarterback to a bunch of pass rushers. So he's going with the bland, I have a Hall of Fame offensive line approach. And
let me ask the question this way, because it is hard to sort of separate Daniel Jones from the Giants, which is they're one of the worst teams in football, we all agree, and Football Outsiders agrees. So I'm looking at Football Outsiders for the middle-of-the-pack teams that are replacement level. So 14th is the Bears, 15th are the Texans, 16th are the Panthers, 17th are the Vikings. Does he make any of those teams better?
No.
He doesn't, right?
The Texans are way worse with Daniel Jones than Deshaun Watson.
I'm taking Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina. I mean, Kirk Cousins, that's Daniel Jones in 10 years. I mean, let's be honest about it. And Nick Foles, I'm sure – Cody and Debo feel differently about Nick.
That's the one that I feel like is the closest. I don't know that he makes him better, but I feel like when Nick Foles is not doing the streaky hot thing, I feel like that's a pretty comparable, like you could plug Daniel Jones in there and probably, I don't know. I mean, throwing to Allen Robinson, having that defense on your side. I don't know. I don't think he makes him better, but I think it's a little more comparable.
I think that's the takeaway, that he doesn't make any of the middle of the road teams even any better, even though they're in better situations than he currently finds himself.
But in 2 years with better coaching, would he? I mean, you know.
All right, we'll say that Daniel Jones is on the Seahawks. What's the Seahawks record?
What is their? They're 5-0 now.
They're 0-5.
I would say
I'll give him 2 wins.
Yeah, I was going 2-3.
Actually,
they have no defense, and their running game is okay. Their offensive line's fine. Like, I mean, no, right. They are not.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. He can hand off.
Do the Seahawks need to fire Pete Carroll? Has he lost his mojo? Is John Schneider like washed up as an executive? If it's Daniel Jones on Seattle instead of Russell Wilson, are you nuts? This is a disaster team. It's the same thing. It's a questionable offensive line, a terrible defense with an okay pass rush and a terrible secondary. And actually the Giants have James Bradbury and then some pretty good weapons, better in Seattle than they are in New York. But Daniel Jones is not.
Okay. Let's put it this way. How does he do in Kansas City with Andy Reid? Is that the best
winning MVP, obviously.
But is that the best landing spot, or maybe New Orleans or the Saints? Yes. I'm trying to think, like, where would he excel?
I think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback in a bad spot.
He's not, because we just went through. He's not even a mediocre quarterback. We just established that.
No, I think he's a. Let me phrase that differently. Kurt Warner came out after Tua Tagovailoa was named the starter over Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he said, "When I was benched for Eli, even though we were 5-4, it really threw me for a loop, and I didn't really get it. We were a playoff team, but I was willing to be a good mentor." To me, that's where Daniel Jones should be right now, but he's an extra season into it, and that's the problem.
Eli started his rookie season. I mean, he came in.
That's what I'm saying, in 2004. But Daniel Jones started his rookie season. He replaced Eli the way that Eli replaced Kurt, and that's the problem. Is that Daniel Jones, because Dave Gettleman and the Giants have not improved the situation around him whatsoever. And, to a small degree, you can blame it on COVID because Nate Solder opts out. Andrew Thomas can't play right tackle. He has to slot into left tackle.
He played left tackle before. It's fine.
All I'm saying is that Daniel Jones' progression is not there the way you want it to be in his second year as a starter.
Yeah, no, I think we all agree with that.
How much would they – not that they would, but let's say they put him on the trade market or something. How much would somebody give up for Daniel Jones now?
I wouldn't give more than a third. I wouldn't even want to do that.
Would you rather have Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones?
Sam Darnold.
Probably Sam Darnold.
Me too.
I don't think it's a clear despair. I mean.
No, it's not.
No, they're both terrible. I mean, it's a half a dozen of one. You're throwing crap against the wall and hoping one of those
love turnovers like I love IPAs. And I mean, like,
the thing is, we're having this whole talk about Daniel Jones. I thought this might have been his most efficient game. Led the team in rushing, that he did. And the Giants win if Evan Ingram catches that ball on 3rd and 7 with under 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
100% on Evan Ingram. That is awful.
If he catches that ball, there's no fumble in the game. We're not talking about Daniel Jones at all. We're talking about what Breach is talking about, that he played the best game this season maybe ever.
And then we're talking about, is it time to replace Carson Wentz?
Ooh. No.
Because they're 1-5-1.
Yeah, I don't know if I...
Are we hot taking ourselves while talking about hot takes? What's happening here?
But, I mean, there are weird things about the Giants like this entire game, just to go from Jones to the game where... Brinson, you tweeted out the picture of the punt with Riley Dixon, where if you're a smart team, and Ryan's favorite situation ever is what would a Belichick team do here? That would have been a touchdown or at least a 30-yard game, because maybe the punt returner tackles him. But if the gunner is not covered, you just automatically call a fake.
Automatic throw.
The punter should not have to look to the sideline to, like, look for permission or, like, laugh about it.
Unfortunately, Breach, Joe Judge doesn't have a special teams background, so there's no way he could have possibly thought about, like, implementing it. I don't care who, like, and people are like, well, the ref was waiting to snap it. It's like, there's no one on the guy on the sidelines. He's gunning down the sidelines to stop the punt, tackle the receiver, the returner. You have to throw that. And it's not on the punter, because he can't go rogue and just throw it. Joe Judge will kill him if he does that and he misses. But man, I mean, that's sloppy football. Bill Belichick doesn't let that happen.
That was just real quick. That was on a 4th and 3. So even if
the free
you just throw it lightly and the receiver just catches it and gets tackled real fast. He just needs 3 yards.
To throw it 40 yards, Breach.
It's not 4th and 15. Pass.
Right. Exactly.
Throw it lightly. By the way, Evan Ingram,
throw it up in the air. Just catch it. It's a free pass.
Evan Ingram after the game.
Two dudes in a parking lot can do it.
All right. Stop talking. Evan Ingram after the game said, quote, "It sucks. It's a sucky feeling right now. We definitely let one get away," end quote. Not me. We let one get away.
Well, you don't pin the whole game on him. I mean, he's got to make that catch. But
if I'm Evan Ingram, I'm saying that's on me. I dropped the ball, and that's why we lost. And that's the truth.
Or you blame your coach, who's a special teams coordinator, who doesn't have an emergency call to get the punter to throw it to a gunner when the gunner's uncovered. How about we blame him, Joe Judge?
I mean, look, the Giants didn't make it past the Eagles' 39, I don't believe. Outside, so they made it the Eagles 39 and then hit that Golden Tate touchdown in the first half. The Eagles dominated the first half. And I think the expectation was Philly would come out and just roll in the second half. And three straight punts, a total of 12 yards on three drives to start the third quarter by Philadelphia. New York wasn't much better, but they engineered a four-play, 88-yard drive, score a touchdown. Then they come back in the fourth quarter and go in that 15-play, 75-yard drive that results in another touchdown. They're up 21-10, and it felt like, oh, my God, Philly is dead in the water. Like, they had this game the entire time. And then what's Witten's line? Doug Peterson pulled a rabbit out of his hair. And
out of his head?
Yeah.
Out of his head? Is that what it is, Cody?
Yeah. Honestly, I think that, you know, when they were looking dead in the water in the second half, I mean, that's exactly how they looked out of the gate against the Ravens. And that's where this, like, yes, Doug Peterson needs more help. It's a total package. It's not all on him. But, I mean, this offense has, you know, even with the injuries, it's just looked, I mean, you can't go against the Giants, three straight drives. You said it was 12 yards, no first downs. I mean, they started the game like that last week. But again, I mean, they finished hot, but still, you can't expect to do that. I mean, maybe you only have to do that against the Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington to get to the playoffs. But then who are you playing? Nick Foles in round one?
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Ooh, bring it.
That's just what we need.
Bring it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk some news, maybe some Yannick Ngakoue trade talk.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's
the butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, so Yannick Ngakoue got traded. Actually, I was reading this rundown, and I definitely thought that we'd already talked on the podcast about Yannick Ngakoue being traded. We haven't done that. Mm-hmm. That's how – but I did a huge segment on it on CBS Sports HQ for the Pick Six podcast show, which you can watch every day when Champions League or Europa League or whatever, like Bundesliga or EPL or whatever it is, isn't interrupting it. 4 p.m. Eastern, CBS Sports HQ. Roku, Amazon Fire, wherever it is, we do a show. It's a blast. If you're listening to this right now, it's Friday. Ryan, John, and I will be doing probably picks and news, right?
No Friday show for me and Johnny.
What?
Just you, Brenton. We got banned.
I
got
to do a 45-minute monologue?
That's what we heard.
Oh, the worst.
They want to go full Brenton. You're not supposed to go full Brenton, but apparently that's what we're doing.
You're not supposed to go
full Brenton. As someone who lives full Brenton, you don't go full Brenton.
Not on Friday at 4 p.m.
A huge what? Y'all aren't on that? I have to change this up. Slam my fist down on my show.
They're like, anyway. You work with Brenton all week. You guys get an early start on your drinking, so we're going to let you off the hook.
Yeah. All right, Cody, you are a Minnesotian. Is that what it is? Minnesota?
Yeah, not by birth, but Minnesota.
Oh, but you currently live. What do they call people who live
Minnesotans?
Minnesotan. You added an I in there for some reason.
Well, you know what, Cody? I mispronounce everything, so let's keep.
That's Cody's first dunk.
you got to dunk. It was a layup. You got a little dunk layup there. You've covered Minnesota training camps. What do you think the vibe is? You live in Minnesota. You cover the team. What do you think the vibe is with Minnesota right now and Mike Zimmer, Rick Spielman? Because, like, we're talking guys who got extensions, and they just traded Yannick Ngakoue, who was on a one-year deal. They rented him for a second-round pick. They trade him to the Ravens after acquiring him from the from the Jaguars. It's not a good look for Minnesota, man. Mm-mm.
No, I mean, I think I saw actually, so RJ White, one of our editors, I think he floated the idea that maybe this trade is an indictment of Ngakoue more than it is the Vikings, because he's now been traded twice. But, I think it's more an indictment on Mike Zimmer and just the whole operation right now. I mean, I think that the vibe is, there's some, I think, that kind of believe that the extensions. There was a time over the summer when Mike Zimmer was unhappy that he hadn't gotten an extension yet, and he talked about the possibility it wasn't going to happen. And so some people think that because they came later than expected, the Vikings during the summer were actually still debating whether they should be extending Rick Spielman, Mike Zimmer. I think that they should be on the hot seat. And I think coming into this year, it was pretty clear you don't just trade Stephon Diggs. You don't just replace 3/5 of your secondary and expect everything to just go smoothly. I think they should be on the hot seat. I think that, interesting, you can find like the mic'd up segments on YouTube, like the NFL games. If you watch and just watch Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson talking on the bench, that these guys are just, they look resigned to the fact that this is a lost season. Adam Thielen's like, sometimes you know, the universe is just against you. And these guys are, I mean, they know it's, and Kirk Cousins, I mean, the one thing he's done well for them is, you know, when he's on schedule, he avoids the turnovers completely out the window this year. And so everything is kind of Kirk, Spielman, and Zimmer, I think, are all on the hot seat or should be.
Let me ask you this, Cody, which team should be more concerned or is less impressive? The Vikings or the Eagles / Cowboys / Giant? What?
No, I actually thought about this during the game, during the end of the game, because I thought if the Eagles lose this and they go to, it would have been 1-5-1. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. 1-5-1. And the Vikings would have been 1-5. I thought, who is the more unimpressive? I think the Eagles would get slightly more credit because of all of the injuries, because I don't think the Vikings, I think the personnel decisions more contributed to that, as far as the guys that are touting so many rookies in the secondary, they've failed to properly address the O-line. That's not injuries hitting them all over the place. So I give the Eagles maybe a slight edge as being, but that's only, I mean, I feel like nationally people expected the Eagles to be like a lot better this year, but the fact is they've started the last 2 years, poorly.
I think people thought the Vikings were going to be good, but to your point, yeah. I mean, the secondary is terrible because of youth. They let go of Xavier Rhodes and Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes, and it just hasn't worked out well.
Well, you know, see, that's the whole thing that bothers me about this trade is that, I mean, like,
and by the way, quickly, Danielle Hunter's done for the year, it sounds like.
And Linval Joseph left too. Like,
well,
Everson Griffison left. All these people left. All these players on the defensive side left. And the Viking, if you're Rick Spielman, you're Mike Zimmer, and you're looking at the defense. I mean, we're looking at the defense. Every one of us is. And we're like, I mean, frankly, this Vikings defense looks like it's going to be a lot worse. Mm-hmm. Did they look at it and say, oh, I know, trading a second round pick for Yannick Ngakoue will solve our woes? That is some short-sighted, terrible organizational decision making.
Well, listen, it's not.
Dude, that's going to be a top 10 pick in the second round.
Yeah,
that's
but
a top pick.
If he has 5 sacks right now, you're okay with it. But
not if they're 1-5, it doesn't matter. He's on the franchise tag. You got to either pay him or let him go.
No, I understand that. But if you thought you could, I mean, if it's a great deal for the Ravens to rent him for 1 year because they're in a good position, and that's where the Vikings thought they would be.
The Ravens are 5-1 and they're renting him now. The Vikings are renting him at 0-0.
Exactly. They thought they were going to be.
They thought they're going to be good, and they were on the cusp of it. I mean, they have two losses by 1 point to undefeated teams. A 1 point loss to the Titans, where Tennessee had to drive down and get a field goal in the final minute. A 1 point loss to the Seahawks, where Russell Wilson pulled a rabbit out of his head. I do get where Zimmer and Spielman were thinking that.
Hey, Breach, what are the common denominators between those two losses? Their defenses couldn't get any stops because the defense sucks.
Well,
everyone knew it was going to suck.
That's what. That's why you get it.
You didn't let me finish. And I was just going to say, losing those, that's where Zimmer and Spielman sat down the off and said, all right, well, we give up. Our plan didn't work. Dunk on yourself because you didn't let me finish.
No, they just gave up a pick that is going to be in the top 10 of the second round, and they acquired in return a pick that's going to be in the bottom 10 of the third round. That is a disastrous usage of draft capital to get a guy who's on a one-year deal. It's not like he's on a rookie deal and he's got some upside and maybe he works out.
If they're 3-2 and he has 5 sacks right now, no one's complaining.
But that wasn't
exactly. If they win the Titans and Seahawks games,
who thought that was going to happen?
They did.
Yeah.
Well, then they're idiots. Because I didn't think it was going to happen, and y'all didn't think it was going to happen, and we're not GMs. So they didn't do a very good job of assessing their personnel.
We picked them to go to the Super Bowl last year and immediately jumped off the bandwagon this year.
Yeah,
immediately
and last year there wasn't a pandemic. What is your point?
You and I realized it. I'm saying that nobody was higher on the Vikings than us last year, and then we saw what they did in the offseason. We're like, this team's stupid. We're done.
I think you just dunked on yourself.
No, I
he did.
It continues my point.
I do have to wonder, though. I mean, because you said,
Cody, you can't talk to her.
Ngakwe's age, you know, that acquiring him isn't as he's not like 30 and an elite pass rusher. So ideally, yeah, that would have been a long term play too. They could have been soft rebuilding, but you know, maybe there is something behind the scenes where they had to get him out of the building. I still think that's an indictment on the Vikings, though, because if you're going to give up those picks, like you said. And there's even a chance that they become premium picks you're giving up. I mean, do your research. The guy has been on the market for how long, begging to get out of Jacksonville?
I have a theory. I think maybe what happened was Spielman and Zimmer thought, we'll trade for him, and it's a huge risk because the defense, as Princess pointed out, is going to be a disaster. If it doesn't work out, by the trade deadline, we'll swap him for a first-round pick with the Texans. The Texans fired Bill O'Brien, so that plan blew up in their face. Mm. So there was no plan B.
Mike Zimmer, you have watched Mike Zimmer for a long time as Bengals defensive coordinator. His entire defense for years, decades, dating back to the Cowboys, is predicated on having veteran quarterbacks who know his system, who can play that system. And they trotted out a bunch of recently drafted guys and thought it would work. And look what Julio Jones did to him. And I know Julio Jones is a stud, but everybody's doing it to him. If you have wide receivers who can win on the outside, you can smoke the Vikings easily. And they don't get any pass rush, they have nothing on the interior. Their defense is terrible.
Michael Pierce opted out. Danielle Hunter's injured. Well, I'm just saying I mean, if you have a pass rush, if you're front four.
But they had Yannick in there without Danielle Hunter. So it's like they didn't really lose a pass rusher compared to what they had last season.
It's still
in
a tough spot.
They also let Everson Griffin go.
Right.
Linval Joseph.
Rich, you can't say that they had unique, so that made up for not having Danielle. The whole idea is to have two out there.
But let me go back to Brinson's point about Zimmer.
Exactly. Can't answer that, can you?
Well, did you ask a question? What's the question? Their question?
Yeah. You got dunked on.
How can Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman come into this year thinking that they will win with Mike Hughes and young guys?
Yeah, what I was going to say about Zimmer is that I think all his defensive experience almost worked against him this year because I feel like he's had a lot of success on the defensive side of the ball. He made the Bengals defense good. Minnesota's had a pretty good defense in the past few years, and I think he just thought, you know what? I can work with these younger guys. I can make my system work with these younger guys because why else are you completely, completely overhauling your defense? I mean, rarely do we see an NFL team overhaul and revamp one side of the roster like the Vikings did this offseason. So
again, you're proving my point. I never disagreed with you on that. How good their defense would be. And it bothers me that I saw their defense would be bad and they didn't. That's a problem.
They did see it. That's why they traded for Yannick.
Yannick.
I thought I heard in pronunciation guides it is Yannick. Yannick Ngakwe.
I'll take that one.
Thank you, Cody. But I mean, the process was bad and the results were worse. What should they have done from January till August in terms of fixing the defense? Because they weren't bringing back those three cornerbacks that I mentioned. Everson Griffin was gone. I don't know how he's even doing decently.
They weren't going to fix it. They put themselves in cap hell.
Okay. So, I mean, what are they supposed to do?
I'm not going to tell somebody who's like 6 feet under how to get themselves out of the, like you already dug the grave.
You're just gonna keep throwing.
The I mean, on, but on don't request a floral bouquet in the casket. Like, hey, like I'll give you $100. Like just stop. You're dead. Just stop. You're dead.
No, they traded for Unique and they asked them to bring a shovel. Just the shovel's too small and it ain't working.
Do you think the Unique, defense is Unique better if they had kept like Unique showed Trey up with Wayne's?
like a shovel that like Breach's daughter would have?
Right,
a little plastic shovel. It's like, yeah. You guys need help? Can I get out of this?
No. What did you say, Breach?
Do you think the Vikings defense is better if they would have kept guys like Mackenzie Alexander, Trey Wayne's, Xavier Rhodes?
To Brinson's point, they can afford it. Right. And those guys weren't playing great. I mean, let's be honest. They didn't have great seasons.
Rhodes stunk. Wayne's got overpaid by the Bengals. Mackenzie Alexander's a big part because he's a slot corner in a league that plays 60% like nickel. So
but is he hurt now, Breach?
Linville Joseph is an underrated signing by the Chargers. He's a massive piece in the middle of their defense.
That's fine, but he's not saving Minnesota.
It was a flawed process on the other side of the ball, too, though. If you want to play, if you want to rely on the defense, I mean, they want to play, run the ball.
Yes.
And, you know what I'm saying? They want to, they want to rely on the defense, but there is no defense. And so the whole process was flawed. I mean,
so to your point, Cody, the Bills, for example, their defense now stinks. Mm-hmm. They at least have the option and the wherewithal to open it up and let Josh Allen throw the ball deep downfield. Mike Zimmer won't do that. He's too stubborn. And
wait a second.
Mike Zimmer's a great coach. He ain't letting Kirby cut it loose. Kirby, hashtag Kirby Cook. No, not happening.
You're answering your own question. I mean, would you let Kirk Cousins throw it? I mean, you're down 10. The game is over.
Well,
right?
Again, that's a flawed process. If you're going to hinge everything on your running game and Kirk Cousins being efficient in minimal passing attempts and your crappy offensive line outside of Garrett Bradbury playing well, and then your defensive line, Garrett Bradbury's good, and then your defensive has to fix everything, but your defense stinks, then you have created a problem.
Well, that's how you get to 1-5.
The crazy thing is that extension we're talking about that Zimmer got this offseason, that was in July. So it was after all the moves had been made. So clearly ownership was on board with everything that Zimmer and Spielman were doing. And that's kind of the mind-boggling thing.
Are we going to see 6 coaches fired before Adam Gase? I mean, what the hell is happening right here? All right, look. But the more important part is Yannick Ngakoue traded to the Ravens.
Unique.
Yeah, Unique. I'll never get there. It's fine. I'll get there when I get there with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, and Travis Fulcrum.
Briscoe's emailing the Arskins word today. Get out of here. Grow up, old man.
I thought you'd call out Briscoe.
So, Unique.
Unique
Ngakoue traded the Ravens. Now, I saw this floated. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Mina Kimes of ESPN noted it. She did. Clearly, and they've been trying to get him for a while, but it's clearly a move designed to counter Pat. Like, the Ravens can't blitz Pat Mahomes and beat him. So can you bring in more pass rushers and win with a 4-man rush against the Chiefs offensive line and play soft zone against Mahomes and force him to try to beat you?
Well, that's fine, but what we saw last week and with the addition of Le'Veon Bell is they'll just run the ball 50 times, something Andy Reid never did in Philadelphia. So that's great. But now they have the capability and the willingness, more importantly, of doing that. So bring in Unique if you want to and rush 4 and then have Marcus Peters tackle Le'Veon Bell 35 yards down the field.
Yeah, the way the Ravens are beating the Chiefs is not, I don't think, Unique. It's if Lamar Jackson can figure out how not to sidearm, you know, passes over the middle of the field and figure out how to complete a deep ball. I mean, I think it's more, I mean, if it's going to be a shootout, you know, I mean, maybe the Chiefs play that efficient style against, like they did against the Bills, but I think it's, I mean, it comes down to the quarterback in that kind
are
of
you
situation.
Anti Lamar, Cody?
I don't think
your pick is wrong. I'm just curious.
No. I mean, I do the quarterback rankings every week, and he's been
How awful is that, by the way?
Right.
It started with me, and I passed it to Sean. It sucks.
By the way,
I was very excited. Go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say breaking news. Cody's going to law school next year.
That's right. I don't think so. I'll ask your guys' opinion. I mean, the tough thing with this and power rankings. So I'm getting yelled at every week by Titans fans because they want it to be, they're telling me how to do power rankings, which is fine. And they're saying it should strictly be, you know, who's done what in 2020, which is fine. I've tried to make it a little more nuanced and be like, who do you want this week and for the rest of the season? Because I'm taking like Kyler Murray's upside over Ryan Tannehill. And I don't know if you would agree with that, but
I would say your first mistake, Cody, is introducing nuance to the internet.
I know. That's the thing. But you could go read, like, if people want to see Ryan Tannehill in the top five, like, you can go read stats and you can go read the passer rating rankings right now. I'm just saying, like, if I were the Titans.
Where was Ryan Tannehill in your last ranking?
11.
Ooh, that's too low.
But now listen to the quarterbacks above. We don't need to go too deep in this, but I think it's off the top of my head. Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, and I'm trying
that's fine.
You know, if you're taking one quarterback, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, maybe that's.
Kyler over Josh. Okay, that's fine. But I still think those five are fine.
I'm not going necessarily right in order right now. I'm just giving you the top 10.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on Carson Wentz.
If you say Carson Wentz.
No, he was behind Tannehill.
If you're getting Carson Wentz, like, you know that, like an airline, like if you're at a,
now the two iffy ones. The
passenger seat. That's what's happening.
The two iffy ones, which I think can be debated, are 9 and 10. I had Derek Carr and Tom Brady, but I, honestly, if you look at, so people saying Tannehill, listen to me now.
Yeah, you had me till Derek Carr.
Yeah, you had me till
Derek Carr. You walked
into the wrong podcast, pal.
If Brenton puts a poll on Twitter about who would you rather have, Derek Carr or Ryan Tannehill, it would be 99.9% Ryan Tannehill.
Breach, what would happen is that Twitter would put a disclaimer on this is false, this is fake news. Like, it wouldn't even get that far.
I'm looking at your top 10, and you also have Ben Roethlisberger ahead of Ryan Tannehill, which I think is an interesting one.
Okay, but
I'll say this. Cody, let me say this in your defense. I like the idea of seeing Kyler Murray on the Titans. I think that would be a really interesting fit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to – you can throw out Carr if you want to. I think that's debatable. What I'm trying to say is that Tannehill has been very good. It's just – I mean, when people say he's way too low, I just look at all those quarterbacks and think, if I could take one of these quarterbacks right now, throw out Brady and Carr, that's fine. But I'm still taking – probably Josh Allen's upside over Ryan Tannehill. I mean, right now.
I think Josh Allen is clearly above Tannehill right now on a full season and, like, for the rest of the year basis.
I don't know.
2 weeks ago.
Maybe not. I guess if you put Tannehill on the Bills, they might be.
I think Tannehill's.
Tannehill's been on fire.
I think Tannehill's top five MVP for 2020 right now.
I think he's number one in DVOA. Let me double check real quick.
I think Tannehill is I think people are sleeping on Ryan Tannehill.
He's number one in DVOA.
That's incredible.
Josh Allen's number four. To
Kyler Murray has missed more throws this year than Tannehill has.
Derek Carr is number three. Just to be clear, to give Derek Carr his love.
Now, I think we started this because you asked if I was anti-Lamar. And I, and I was trying to remember how we got here, but where was Lamar? I'm not. I think he was at six or seven.
That's actually a really good spot for Lamar because he hadn't been awesome this year.
No.
Yeah, I think that, like, so for instance, if you just look at, like, the game against the Eagles, like, you take for granted his legs because he's going to make a huge, you know, game-changing play, and we take for granted that. But there are so many throws where he's really, like, he doesn't have to sidearm, like, a three-yard pass.
And as someone who's done these rankings before, you also have to build in the fact that if you rank Lamar 13 and then he goes off for like 400 and 100 the next week, then you look like a butthole. And that's a problem. Like, you don't want to be completely dead wrong.
One more thing. Carson Wentz, 32nd DVOA behind Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones.
Who's he dunking on?
That was a dunk. I guess that's dunking on Carson Wentz.
That's a dunk on the Eagles.
I felt like it was just a shot at Debo and Cody.
Why? We're going through the list.
Hey, guys, I know we're about to be done with the podcast, but before you get out of here, allow me to kick you in the balls.
Where would you rank Carson Wentz?
He's not dead last.
He's been awful.
No, but
I mean, like, in general, as, like,
the last three games, I thought he's flashed the last three games. Again, running for his life. The Steelers game.
I mean, like, you get to choose one and keep him. We're doing
drafting a franchise QB thing.
Sure. Yeah. Where would you take him?
I will just add, like, put him in different situations. Put him on the Titans. Put him on the Bills. Do the same thing that you do for other quarterbacks. I don't want to stick on this long. We don't need to be over an hour.
That's fair. But I will say this:
let's put Carson Wentz on all 32 teams.
But I think that another 90 minutes. I do think this is a problem with Carson Wentz, and I think that this is what you Eagles fans don't want to say because you realize
The
inherent implications of what you will say is that Carson Wentz does not like to operate within the constructs of Doug Peterson's scheme. And as a result, when he gets outside of Doug Peterson's scheme, things break down and it causes problems. And Carson Wentz has no regard whatsoever for his physical well-being. That is
that's
a
true.
Problem.
So let's
get hurt.
Let's put him in Kyle Shanahan's.
I'm taking Jared Goff, a healthy Dak Prescott over him for sure, right?
Jared Goff, sure, but not Jared Goff.
Yeah, I don't think
Carson
Wentz with Sean McVay.
Yeah. Carson Wentz runs Ron McVay's offense. That's
imagine
the problem.
Imagine Jared Goff in the Eagles game tonight.
He's just lying in a crumpled.
Right. He'd have left.
The Eagles would be 0-7 right now with Jared Goff.
He would have left tonight's game on two stretchers. I mean, that's.
I'll take Jared Goff for Wentz right now.
Breach, okay. We're cool. That's me and you were cool again, Breach.
And now Brinson's on Debo's crap list.
He missed. Oh.
Would you take on the Sean McVay offense, Justin Herbert or Carson Wentz?
Wait, I would.
I think right now I might lean Justin Herbert just because.
Wow!
Listen, I'm not
he dunked on himself.
No, he's being honest.
I'm being honest with you. I mean, I'm a Carson Wentz guy, but I think Justin Herbert. If you're looking right now, I mean, there's less wear and tear. The arm is clearly like top five potential. I mean.
Jimmy Garoppolo or Carson Wentz on the Sean McVay team?
Did you say Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Not Garoppolo.
I think I'm taking Wentz too.
Let's go, Breach.
I'm just sucking up the Devo.
I would probably take Wentz over Jimmy G just because he's younger. And like 2007.
2 years younger.
Wentz is riding on 2017 pretty hard, guys. Like 2017 is, and Devo and Cody, you guys need to admit this.
You act like we're here.
Like every time it's like, do you remember in 2017?
But I don't say that. I've been here picking other guys.
This is like me being like, do you remember when I got like a 1300 on my SATs? You're 39.
When have I ever brought up 2017?
Never.
Brinson, what were the two H's you just brought up?
Exactly. They're like 2 years apart, aren't they?
I mean, but fine. You're Al Bundy talking about the four touchdowns he scored.
Who? You're talking to like Eagles Twitter, right? I haven't brought up 2017 Carson Wentz at
Debo
all.
Debo brings it up all the time.
No, he doesn't. What about this? Baker Mayfield?
2017, he was in MVP here. You don't talk about
Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz?
Wentz over Baker.
Carson Wentz. Oh, yeah. Wentz easy. Oh,
I thought that might even be
good. I could grab a clip from week four where you said, easy Baker over Wentz.
Love it.
Jimmy G is older than Carson. I don't know if that's the ages that you were referring to.
How about Carson Wentz or Matthew Stafford?
Stafford.
I'd say Wentz.
Stafford's pretty old.
I'd say Wentz.
Carson Wentz. This is a debate we had preseason. Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan?
I'd say Wentz.
I think I'm taking Matt Ryan there. Like Matthew Stafford.
I tend to agree, but if you threw Matt Ryan on this Eagles team.
You throw anybody.
0-5. 0-7.
What's Russell Wilson on this Eagles team?
7-0,
obviously. Yeah.
No, like no joke. He's 7-0. There's like three quarterbacks. Mahomes is maybe 6-1 or 7-0, and that's it. Like that's your top tier. I don't even think Lamar Jackson because he hasn't been accurate this year. I don't think he's 7-0 on this team.
All right, let's if we're doing these like wins over Wilson, we like to create these new stats. If we're doing like like I don't know what the acronym is, but like drag this crappy team out of the gutter quarterback rankings.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson is number one by a long shot.
Yeah, no, I
like,
agree
you put
with
him
that.
Behind a crappy offensive line with Travis Fulcrum and
Greg Ward III. He's been good. He's been good too.
He will this Eagles team is undefeated right now with Russell.
They're not undefeated though. Let's be real.
They're undefeated.
Okay. Well, here's the true test. What would the Bengals record be with Russell Wilson?
Oh, 7-0. They'd be 7-0. They've been blown out of any games. You put Russell Wilson in there, they're winning all of them.
Undefeated.
They'd be 1-5-1.
No, you drop prime Russell Wilson on the Bengals right now, undefeated.
Zach Taylor would have him playing safety.
Zach Taylor would just be locked in a cage in Siberia.
All right. Russell Wilson would be
like, oh, my headphone's not working.
Yeah.
I can hear you, Zach. Hold on a second. I'm going to run seven plays without you watching and just throw touchdown bombs.
So basically, Russell Wilson is a good homelander. How do you like that reference?
Ooh, that's good. How good is the – I don't know what
it's guy. I didn't mean to get you off topic.
Carson Wentz or 2020 Tom Brady?
Yeah. I think I'm taking Carson. Like, I think Carson and the Bucs team would be
– Yeah, put him on the Bucs.
He's been better.
Okay, we'll put Tom Brady on the Eagles. He would literally be dead.
He'd be dead.
his retirement press conference would have been after week two. We would have talked about it all week on the podcast.
he's like screaming at somebody. The guy's like, who are you? Like, it's like, I'm a football player. Like, it's like, I'm Tom Brady. He's like, I actually played baseball in the minor leagues last year. I don't know. I'm a cook at the Eagles. Like, I'm a cook at Lincoln.
Exactly. Field. I mean, come on.
No amount of pliability would save him from the Eagles offensive line.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. This was a like that went from Yannick on the Ravens to who would drag the Eagles out of the
By game. The way, if the Eagles had lost, this podcast would have been over 2 hours ago. It would have been
That's
in
right,
and out.
Yeah, it would be a 12-minute podcast.
I was getting ready to hit up Brinson and be like, hey, bro, can you record this?
Hey, okay, quickly. I'll pull a breach, quickly. What's going to be the most important addition to this Ravens team, Yannick Ngakoue or Dez Bryant on the practice squad?
Oh, my. How about Antonio Brown? You think that could happen?
Did you really just bring up Dez Bryant?
He's going to Seattle.
Get out of here.
Breach, early prediction for Andy Dalton versus the Eagles on, I think it's Sunday night.
I think it's going to be
a week.
It is. It's a week from Sunday. And so they absolutely could have flex this game out.
Yeah.
And because you have two last place teams, both are going to be way under 500, but it's Cowboys and Eagles playing for first place, even if it is the NFC East. I don't know. Like, I think I need
Andy
to see
Dalton better sign somewhere else.
I need to see Dalton play on Sunday against Washington before I can make a prediction against the Eagles.
Okay.
Cause I need to know if the Arizona game is who he's going to be with the Cowboys or if that was just primetime Dalton showing up and we get daytime Dalton, but then the Eagles game's primetime. It's all too confusing.
What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Andy Dalton sucks when he has no offensive line and they have no offensive line.
It wasn't his fault they lost on Monday.
It was all his fault.
We don't need to re-record that podcast.
Hold on. Do we have a line ahead of William Hill for next? I think we do. Hold on. I'm going to find this.
Oh boy.
It is.
Oh boy.
Slowly.
Is it in Dallas?
Minus 3.5 right now.
It's in Philly.
In Dallas?
It's in Philly.
Slam it. Here's why you slam this right now. If you're the four or five people still listening to this podcast, slam Eagles minus 3.5 because the Washington football team is going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Andy Dalton is going to end up as this like small stain underneath Chase Young's cleat. And then they're going to have to play their third string backup, which is like Zeke Elliott or
Ben DiNucci.
Wait, so you're telling people to bet based on the fact that you think Andy Dalton's going to be lost to an injury on Sunday. Is that correct?
Or he's going to get, you could put the three best wide receivers in professional football history out there in the field and it wouldn't matter because Andy Dalton can't do anything.
Andy Dalton's going to throw 15 passes.
Andy Dalton is
they're
the worst.
They're going to run the ball 40 times.
Under pressure, Andy Dalton is one of the five worst quarterbacks in professional football history.
No one disputes that.
And he will have.
He's second.
He's going to hand it off the whole time. They're going to run the ball.
How do you think that's going to work? They don't have anybody healthy on the offensive line. Washington is winning that game. Philly will be favored by 5+.
It's the NFC East. You can't just guarantee things now. Like that. It's too unpredictable.
And the Eagles have a good defense. Well, Chris,
who'd you bet on tonight to cover?
That's none of your TV business.
That's it with a dunk.
All right, we'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.